Well, here we are at the start of this new year, and it was good to wish some of you as you came in at the door there a happy new year, although it's a bit strange. We're already well into this new church year. Those of you who worry about your taxes, we're two-thirds of the way through the tax year, the financial year. There's all sorts of different ways that we mark time these days, but for our Western calendar, the calendar based on its number of years, as I was saying last week, on the birth of Jesus, taking the birth of Jesus as its fulcrum, it is our new year. And we think of the story of Christmas, for we're still in this season of Christmas, and here in church at least we still have our decorations up for a wee bit longer. And we think of the birth of Jesus, of the angels proclaiming the good news of his birth to the shepherds in the field. We think of the story of how when he was just these few weeks old, going with Mary and Joseph, his earthly father, being taken to the temple, and there Simeon, the old man who had been waiting for years to see God's promised Messiah, rejoicing when he held the baby in his arms. And then we think of the travellers, the wise men, the magi, coming and bearing their gifts. And we remember them mainly for these gifts that they presented to the infant Jesus. We're moved by the fact that they travelled so far to deliver their presents. And we're inspired by the fact that they presented valuable gifts, perhaps the best that they could offer. And they presented them to this young king. We think of our Christmas gift giving as being inspired by the gifts of the Magi. And there's no doubt that they did offer fine gifts. And there's no doubt that their gift giving is inspiring to us still. Well, this morning I wanted to think firstly about God's gift and our gifts. The gifts of the Magi were given in response to a gift that they had received. They gave because they had been given to. They gave their gifts because God had shown them a star which they followed to the Christ child. I wonder, can we ever even begin to imagine what an astonishing gift that was? The Magi, we're told, were astrologers. They looked to the stars. They were more than likely, many commentators think, more than likely from the area of modern-day Iraq or Iran, and they spent most of their time gazing up at the stars. And out of all the stars that they could have focused on, God led them to see the one that would lead them to Jesus. That's awe-inspiring. Think about it. How many stars are there in the universe? The number is larger than we could ever comprehend. Just to get some idea of the number we're talking about, think about this. There are more stars, we're told, in the universe than there are grains of sand on all of the beaches in the world combined. No wonder then that when we look at the night sky, the vastness of it all amazes us. And when we do such stargazing, we're seeing only a tiny fraction of our own solar system, which in turn is only a tiny fraction of this vast universe that God has created. No wonder we can so readily echo the words of the psalmist, who said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him?" And yet out of that vastness, God directed the Magi to that one star. He gave them that one star that made all of the difference in their life and in that journey. That star to the Magi was God's gift to them and to us. For God's gift, secondly, is for you and for me. We may have lost sight of how astounding this event is that Matthew tells us about in chapter 2 of his gospel. We may have lost sight of how astounding it is in terms of its implications for us. But the astonishing thing about the revelation to these wise men was that they were Gentiles. They were not part of the family of faith at that time. According to the Gospels, the first announcement of the birth of the the Messiah was to Jewish shepherds, men who lived on the fringe of Hebrew society. And the second announcement was to Gentiles, people who lived outside of that society. And you and I, unless we come from a Jewish background, we too are Gentiles. And the announcement to these wise men from the East was the first announcement to people just like you and me. John Wesley, in one of his writings, called the Magi the first fruits of the Gentiles. And even though it was always God's intention for the Hebrew people to be a light to the nations and for the Gentile nations to be included in his kingdom, it took the coming of Jesus as the Messiah to throw the way wide open for us. And even then it was a hard sell. It took much debate and the heroic efforts of people like St. Paul and others to make full Gentile inclusion in the church a reality. But God's truth won out. Salvation comes by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else. We all come in to God's family, the church, from different backgrounds, but we all come the same way through his Son, Jesus Christ. God went to the extreme of extremes to make salvation possible for people like you and me. We were the outsiders, the no-hopers, and yet God drew us in. And at the start of this new year, we gain something very valuable if we reclaim the truth that salvation of people like us, of someone like you, someone like me, is the great gift from Almighty God. God's gift is for you and me. But thirdly, God's gift is meant to be for everyone, not just those of us who are part of his family, the church. We may have lost sight of just how astounding this episode of the Christ event was for everyone. God went to very, very great lengths to let the Magi know about the birth of Jesus. He went to great lengths because what he was saying to the Magi was that he wanted the whole world to hear the message he brought them. His sign to the Magi, that star in the sky that they saw and followed, signaled from the very beginning that God's gift of his Son was for everyone, for all, not just for a select few. And the revelation of God to the Magi was an eye-opening experience for those wise men, no doubt. But the revelation to those early readers of Matthew's Gospel was just as much an eye-opening experience. They moved from darkness into light. That move from dark to light promised by the prophet Isaiah so many hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. The Magi were foreigners. They were practitioners of another religion. They were astrologers. They bore characteristic after characteristic that should have disqualified them from having a positive experience with the Messiah. Or at least the people of Israel would have thought that. And yet God showed them the star. They saw the star. They followed the star. They were Gentiles, and yet God gave them the gift of his Son. Jesus came from them, even though they were not part of the family of faith at that time. He came for them just as much as he came for the people of Israel. I think there's an important lesson for us in the story of God's gift to the Magi. Something very valuable here for us to learn if we reclaim the gospel truth that the coming of Jesus Christ means that walls have come down, that the door is opened to everyone to go through. That the church to be gathered around Jesus Christ is meant to be a church that makes no distinctions as to who can come, because of race or gender or social standing. Of course, when we come to Christ, we're changed and transformed more and more into his likeness. and we become obedient to God's word. But everyone is invited. God's gift is for everyone. And then fourthly, there's our response to God's gift. We don't always take advantage of the gifts that are given to us. This year, as every year, many Christmas presents will lie untouched, unwanted. When the wise men came to the court of Herod the Great at Jerusalem and asked as to where the King of the Jews was to be born, the priests and the scribes, they knew the answer because they knew the Bible of their day. They knew that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And so the wise men headed off to Bethlehem, which is only 6 miles or so from Jerusalem, where Herod's palace was. And can you believe that on hearing that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem, that the priests and the scribes didn't go with them? The three kings only had a rumor to go by, but it moved them to make that long, long journey. The priests and the scribes were much better informed, much better versed. They sat and they studied the scriptures. But that did not make them move. They stayed where they were. As I read this story again this Christmas time, I wondered to myself who had the more truth. Was it the kings, the aliens, the foreigners who followed a rumor? Or was it the scribes who remained sitting there with all their knowledge? And it makes me wonder about us. For God has given us such tremendous gifts. God has given us salvation. He has included people like us in his great, great plan of salvation. He's even included you and me. And God has given us our Christian fellowship. He's given us our Bibles. He's given us a country where we are free to exercise our faith and so much more. How, though, are we responding to his tremendous gifts to us? The poet Christina Rossetti put it this way: "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give my heart." But are we really giving him our hearts? Are we really giving him our lives? The Danish theologian Søren Kierkegaard said of this episode, "What an atrocious self-contradiction that the scribes should have had the knowledge and yet remain still. This is as bad as if a person knows all about Christ and his teachings, and his own life expresses the opposite." You know, when we read the story of the young church that grew up after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the early Jewish Christians had a hard time accepting the fact that God wanted Jews and Gentiles in his church on the same terms. And nowadays, the Christian church is primarily a Gentile church. Even so, are we ready to accept the fact that God invites everyone into his family? We withhold a large part of our greatest gift, our lives, from God, if we withhold our hearts from anyone. And what a gift we cost ourselves if we don't accept God's gift of that great, multifaceted collection of people who can and should make up his church. The best Christmas gifts are those which have been made or chosen with love and care specifically for the recipient. And we are surrounded by people at the start of this new year for whom God has the great gift of salvation, and who would want to be a great gift of God to us. They're hiding in plain sight all around us. They're our families, our friends, our neighbours, those folks we come in contact with day in, day out. And as we find them, as we learn to love them, as we relate to them, we'll be reminded of God's love for them and for us, and what a gift that will be. Amen. May God bless his word to us every time we read from it.